Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got yet another interview with our local DNR fish biologist, Max Walter. And then lastly, some tips on reel maintenance from Matt Keggy from Matt's Reel Repair. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
You want to get outdoors, you want to have some fun.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris off-road vehicle from Hayward Power Sports. Right now, claim rebates up to $1,200 and financing as low as 2.99% during our spring sales event. Get more done and have more fun with a new Ranger XP 900 offering a $1,200 rebate. The Polaris Sportsman 570, the off-road's best-selling automatic ATV, is priced to move starting at under $6,000. Or race in for a Razor XP Turbo and grab a $500 rebate on the world's ultimate performance side-by-side. The Polaris Spring Sales Event is on with rebates up to $1,200 and financing as low as 2.99% APR for 36 months. Don't miss out. Come see us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Offer valid in the U.S. through 4/30/18 on select new vehicles. Subject to credit approval, offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and guess who's back? Morning, Art.
Man, 11, is it cold and snowy.
It wasn't that cold down in Arizona,
was it? Arizona was about 80 when I left, and the further I got north, the worse it got.
You were kind of taking up that position, your brother. What your brother say about intelligence test for Yankees used to say or something? It's a matter of how long you put up with the cold before you move south or something.
That's right. And then they'll take their lawnmowers and they'll put them on a post in front of their yard and say, I'll never mow another lawn again.
We got Bob Schuster in here from Hayward Bait and Bottle. Morning, Bob.
Morning, John. Morning, Art.
Good morning.
We're talking about the cold. Still guys out there ice fishing. There's a lot of ice out there.
Yeah, there is, John. Some of the landings are getting a little chewed up, but I'm hearing vehicle traffic yet. No, I wouldn't suggest that, but people, there's that much ice that they're getting out, and the fishing has been pretty good.
Yeah, I don't see that the ice is, you know, I'm looking at 40 years of being up here, and I suspect the ice is probably going to be mostly gone by opener, but it's going to be pushing it, I think, because there's a lot of ice.
I certainly hope so. I don't want to see a repeat of 13 and 14. That was once in a lifetime is good, twice is too much.
You know, you said that the fish are doing pretty good. A friend of mine went out and got 26 crappie and bluegills, and he got them in a short period of time. I was really surprised.
Yeah, the bite has been good. It seems like if you find them, I know I was fishing down on Spooner, pretty skinny water, and the action was pretty good.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of these fish are up really high in their water, though, and that's actually not really necessarily a good sign.
No, it's not. And actually, I was talking to one of our suppliers, Janie, that makes a weedless bucktail, and she's out east, Boulder Junction. She said they got 3 foot of snow on the lakes with over 3 foot of ice. And that's scary because you can start losing some populations of fish.
Well, you know, it was over a week or so ago I was talking to DNR, and they said that in some areas on the flowage, the oxygen levels were getting iffy anyhow already at that point.
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, they dropped it down, so that makes it a little tougher. But let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope that we... we get that meltdown and we're on open water comes opening day.
I ought to be there before that if I can. But well, yeah. Anyway, talking about the fishing, talking about open water, you know, steelhead season, you had a lot of guys interested in that this year?
There's been a few, of course, because of the conditions there as well. A lot of snow in the woods, a lot of ice shelves, difficult travel. So there's been some guys going up. From what I understand, the river's clear and low, and there are some fish in the river, but I think getting to them can be a little tough.
The same thing is true in Michigan. I understand that there are not many people out fishing with boats yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I heard was there's a lot of fish in the river, wintered in the river, so yeah, it actually should be good
I heard the same thing, yeah.
You know, how about the rivers around here? What are you hearing?
A few guys going out doing a little catch and release on the...
Sucker?
No, on trout, and it's funny you should mention that because there's a number of people that have been asking about suckers, and I'm sure with a little bit of warm-up and I'm looking forward to that will kickstart that.
Mm-hmm. Bob, what are you hearing up on Lake Superior as far as the ice up here? You think the ice will be out earlier up there in some areas where we can get out, maybe do a little trolling?
I'm hoping so, and it's probably got a better chance than some of our lakes around here because you get a big wind pushing and it can bust that up quick. But that being said, there's been some really good reports on trout being caught up there right now.
Mm. Wow.
You know, you mentioned wind. I've noticed since I've been back that there hasn't been any wind here.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll start snowing. There's no wind, absolutely no wind. I've never felt that in this area in 30 years, 35, 37, come to think of it.
We've got a lot of wind this winter, it seems like, I think.
Yeah, during some of our snowstorms, and I know fall it was blowing, and even last summer it blew quite a bit, so.
But recently, not much.
Not much.
Well, you know, and the other thing, too, is I remind people the turkey season opens here, the 18th, which is only a few days away here from Buenos Aires.
Blink, blink, and it's here. So, and there's a lot of birds around. And there again, hopefully the snow has settled down and they'll be able to get to their favorite spot. And
but how will you be able to get to your favorite spot?
I'm standing in it right now.
Well, you got, speaking of that, you got a lot of gear and stuff in here now. When they expanded this store, you got hunting supplies, turkey hunting, a lot of turkey hunting stuff. You got crossbows, you got almost everything. And the guys that want to get out for the spring, you know, gear up for spring fishing, you got a ton of stuff there, including a lot of electronics and that stuff, like the Hummingbird stuff. You've got that.
Trolling motors and flotation, you got a full mix, and a lot of that we still need to get out. So,
By the time we see airs, I think you better be in a little bit better shape.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming on here, and it's been a pleasure having you on here today.
Thanks, John. Good having you back, Art.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And, folks, you know, we have to take a break and hear from some of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we've got an interview with Max Walter, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Can-Am machines are designed to make your heart race. And now they're available at heart-stopping prices. For a limited time, get up to a $2,000 rebate on select 2018 models, like the thrilling Maverick X3, the all-enduring Defender, and the heavy-duty Outlander. Spring Fever ends April 30th, so head to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval. See your dealer for details or find them online at haywardpowersports.com.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402 or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-hosting again is Art Malin. And Art, you know, I'm talking to Max quite a bit this over this last few months and doing some YouTube videos and stuff. And one of the things we talked about was fishing as a learning experience. And, you know, you always something out there to learn. Fishing's a challenge. It can be. I mean, you could take it to where you just want to go out and sit in one spot and throw a bobber out, and either they bite or they don't. But, you know, if you really want to pursue it, it can be a pretty good challenge.
You know, last year I didn't do much guiding, but I had a couple of couples that wanted to learn how to fish. And they wanted to learn how to fish with a slip bobber. And they didn't know how to do it. And it was kind of interesting helping them, showing them how to do it.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of different aspects of learning, but the learning is to figure out where the fish are and techniques and some of that stuff. And it, you can take it to a pretty high, intense level if you want to.
That's true, and I mean, you've got the equipment to do it, especially the locators.
Yeah,
it sure helps.
Time to learn that stuff there. Well, let's hear what our local biologist here, Max Walter, had to say about the fishing as a learning experience. We're down at our local DNR office again, talking to our biologist, Max Walter. And Max, you know, we're talking about, you always talk about information and things going on. You know, to me, one of the most important things and interesting things about fishing is that you're constantly learning. Besides having fun, you're learning all the time. And it helps you to become better at things, understand the resource, everything.
Yeah, I would say not only are you learning like a new trick or a new technique or how to use some electronics, but you're learning how to learn. And by that, I mean you're learning how to solve a problem. That's what fishing is, right? You know,
right.
You've got fish out there and you got to figure out how to catch them. And by learning that process, you know, it carries over to a lot of different areas of life. And I think that's why it's important to get kids fishing.
Well, you know, and understanding how fish move, what they're doing. I mean, it's a, you went to school and college for that, understanding fish and stuff. But, you know, fish don't always play by the same rules. They keep changing on us all the time.
They do, yeah. And the thing with fishing in particular is there's so many factors that you can't isolate, you know, this is exactly where they're going to be on this day. You can get a good idea based on experiences, but when you look at things like water temperature, barometric pressure, wind speed, time of year, oxygen. There's so many different factors that it's a tricky problem to solve, and I think that's why so many people love fishing, is it's not easy.
You know, and you can approach it at whatever level you want. I mean, you can go out in one spot, your favorite spot, and throw out some bobbers, or you can take a real aggressive approach. You're trying to figure out where the fish are, what they're doing. You can use your electronics. You can use your knowledge you put together and try to just figure out what's going to work, because really, Al Linder one time said, there is no such thing as a fish ain't biting. There's someplace some fish is going to bite. You just got to figure it out.
Right, yeah. Some days are easier than others. And the other thing that's interesting is some days you fail, right? There's no participation trophy. Some days you catch lots of fish. Some days you don't. And that just incentivizes you to go out and keep at it and keep learning.
You know, and that's right. What you said, learning. I said the most interesting and the fun thing of fishing is, one, you're out there enjoying the outdoors, you're having fun, and you should be always learning. Learning is an important thing.
Yeah, especially if you want to be successful. You gotta keep at it, and you gotta keep evolving and adapting. And the thing is, the fish are doing that too. And we don't often think about that. You know, fish populations are not this static thing where they're going to be the same from one year to the next and one generation to the next. They are adapting to our fishing.
There's some research
out there that's really fascinating about how fished populations behave differently than unfished populations. And people know that. I mean, that's why you go to remote areas or remote lakes in the national forest, or you go up to Canada, you go to places where people haven't fished before, and those fish act differently. They're a lot more aggressive, aren't they?
Well, you bet. You know, and our fish, do they think like we do? No. They don't have that type of reasoning or brain power. But any creature out there, whether you're hunting in the woods or you're fishing, any creature can react negatively to negative experiences, it seems like.
Right, and that's their survival instinct, right?
It's survival instinct, yeah. What it is.
The thing I like to tell people is, if a lake's been fished for 100 years, the only fish that are left in there are the ancestors of the fish that didn't get caught. And if there's a genetic component to being caught, and we know there is some of that, fish are getting wilier over time. And we're getting wilier with our electronics. It's kind of an arms race, really. It's interesting.
But you don't want to be using that same old lure that you've been using for all the last 50 years because the fish might already know what that is.
They might. And it's interesting now. You know, you look back at some of the classic or, you know, antique lures and you think, what the heck was a fish doing biting this? But at the time, you know, they were aggressive and they were naive. They hadn't seen that before. So, yeah, I think that's really fascinating. It makes me wonder what fishing is going to look like in another 100 years.
Well, I know I won't be here to see it, but, you know, I'd be interesting if I was.
Yeah, I won't make it 100 years either. But, yeah, it's very interesting. And I think it hopefully colors people's perspective of what fishing is and, you know, what an accomplishment it is to have a good day of fishing or to trick that really old, smart fish into biting.
Just being out there in the resource, out in our natural environment, and that to me is enough. I mean, that's the experience.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and the worst day of fishing you could have is still a pretty awesome day, right?
You bet it is. Max, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been an interesting little topic.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, you know, it's interesting listening to him on that art, and it is. I mean, one of the things I always ask people in the boat, I said, do you learn anything today when you're out? Well, yeah. And I said, why? And I said, because if you didn't learn something, I don't care whether you caught a lot of fish or you didn't catch a lot of fish, at the price you pay for a guide, it probably wasn't worth it. You know, so it's a learning thing. Try to teach, try to learn. And I encourage people to try to encourage learning. My big belief is the day you quit learning is the day you start dying.
Well, that's true. I think that's generally true. And I think most people know that. But sometimes people get, what should I say? I've met some guys, fishermen, who have a technique that they just stay with they won't change it.
Yeah, they guess one way and they're going to do it. And I know there's a few, actually, for guides that are still that way, you know.
Well, everybody will change eventually.
You bet. Well, Art, you know, we're going to take another break and hear from more of our sponsors. We come back, I've got another interesting interview on real maintenance, believe it or not. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Pet owners, blastomycosis is a serious disease that threatens dogs in our area. Blasto is a fungus that grows in the spring and fall when the soil temperature is 39 degrees. The fatal disease results just 6 to 12 weeks later. Unfortunately, dogs love to dig and sniff in just the type of soil that houses these fungal spores. At Hayward Animal Hospital, they urge you to prevent your dogs from entering swampy areas during the thaw. If you have questions, call the Hayward Animal Hospital at 634-8971, located east of Hayward on Highway B.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle, 715-634-9753.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, we're talking here, people are going to be getting ready for spring, and taking care of your equipment is a big deal. Talk about reels, rods and reels. You have maintenance on your reels. And I know here at Hayward Bait, they have a reel cleaning and service, too, available. But I had a chance to talk to a guy over at one of the muskie shows that actually runs a business. That's what he does, is just reels. And he offered some pretty good tips and some information about that.
Well, if you think about the average reel that the guy and gal is using today, they're high-tech reels, and they need attention.
When you drive your car or your boat, you don't neglect changing oil in that.
No, that's right. That's right.
So you got to maintain that equipment. So let's hear what he has to say about fishing reels and maintenance, and we'll come back. We'll have a wrap up on the show and some good information. We're down at the Wisconsin Muskie Expo. I'm talking to Matt Hagee from over in Eagle River. You got Matt's reel repair. Everybody needs to get their reels cleaned once in a while.
Absolutely. You know, annual maintenance is a big key to keeping, you know, fish in the net and being able to stay out on the water longer. There's nothing that ruins a vacation faster than getting up to Canada or wherever you're going, and then on day one, your reels start to fail or break down on you.
You know, a lot of us, me included, are guilty of not doing anything more than squirting a little oil on them, and that sometimes too much lubrication is not a good idea either.
Absolutely. You know, guns and fishing reels, the minimum amount of oil and grease is definitely going to keep the reels running longer. All that oil and grease trapped inside the reel is just going to gather and attract dust and dirt, and now you have grit suspended in the grease and you just start wearing your parts down inside the reel faster.
What's involved in proper taking apart like a musky reel? You got a lot of new parts in there now.
Yeah, for us to service the reel takes about an average of an hour per reel. And when we do it, we actually take them all the way down to the last part. We hand clean all the parts, and then we ultrasonically clean the parts to get all those little pieces of grit out of the corners and crevices that we can't reach. And that's when we would start our assembling with, you know, proper grease and oil.
I know a lot of the newer reels now, and all the different brands, they have a one-way clutch, a one-way bearing in there for anti-reverse. And some, you know, all too often I've seen where that wants to skip or miss or not catch. Is that just being because it's not dirty, or do they get wore out?
They can wear, and they can also break. Repetitive hits on that anti-reverse bearing from a backlash or ripping a bait, stop-and-go style, will start to wear that anti-reverse bearing down, or actually even break it in some cases. Most of the time, it's not a very expensive fix. Most bearings are between, let's say, $10 and $25. So to keep that reel going, it's a minimal part.
You could just change the bearings. I've heard sometimes guys have told me with certain model reels they had to go out the factory, but you can fix most of them.
Most everything we can either swap out the bearing, and there's very few, like you said, that you can't change the bearing out, but then we would end up changing the side plate out at a little more expense. But for the most part, we found a way to have an actual bearing to do a replacement, even when the factory says you can't.
How about spinning reels? They're not quite as expensive, as hard to work on, are they?
Parts-wise, is probably a little bit less for the most part internally on our side of it when cleaning and repairing. But the principle is still the same. The anti-reverse bearing can be an issue. The drive gear, pinion gear can be an issue. And certainly dirt and grit getting inside the bearings are going to make that reel feel rough.
So basically take care of it, but no matter how you take care of it, it should be serviced about every year, depending on how much you're using it?
Correct. An average guy that fishes a couple days a week throughout the summer, you know, a yearly maintenance program would be really beneficial to keeping those expensive reels going. You know, if you only fish a weekend here or a couple weeks a year in Canada, then maybe go to every other year for service. But it's always a good idea to get stuff serviced at the end of the year to get all that moisture out of the reels and get them dried out and cleaned and ready to go for the spring.
Well, thank you for coming on here, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, Art, you know, that was interesting. And again, I'll mention that at Hayward Bait here, Hayward Bait and Bottle, I know you can bring your reels in here. They've got a service where they send them out and get them taken care of and repaired or fixed. And you can do that locally here. You can do it yourself. You can get parts, either have them order the parts here, or you can find parts online. A lot of ways of taking care of that.
Yes, there is. There is something that happened, John, that we weren't able to attend, although we attended it, but we don't have it in our show this week. It is the Wisconsin Conservation Annual April 9th meeting.
Yeah.
And the thing that's kind of interesting to me is that the County Deer Advisory Councils will be making a presentation. And if you like what they say, that's fine. But if you don't like what they say, you can always, from the 2nd to the 12th, respond to the DAC group and say, hey, I don't really agree with your numbers, or I don't agree that we should have more buck or less buck, but you got to be able to say something.
Yeah, well, that meeting was last week, so if you still got a response
right
to a minute. So.
Right, right.
You know, and talking about a couple other things here, you know, we're talking about things coming up. I mean, the fishing, there's going to be a lot of open water, hopefully, at some point, and you better be prepared for it, and there's new gear out there, new equipment. A lot of new stuff out there. You can, I know if you go to Hayward Bait here, they got a good line of depth finders. And I encourage people to look at the new Hummingbird stuff for one, because in Minnekota, because when you put the whole thing together as a system, yes, you can get in it for fairly reasonable, but you can also get in the high end of it. But I guarantee you, it's going to make you catch more fish, because it just does a lot of the work for you. It allows you to spend more time on concentrating on your presentation and working to catch the fish.
You have to take the time. You have to exercise. You have to know what you're trying to do. And if you don't, you can come down to Hayward Bait and Tackle, and they'll help you.
Yep, Hayward Bait's got a good supply here, and they got some demo units. I know Hayward Bait and our Hayward Power Sports also has a big mm-hmm. supply of electronics this year, especially the Hummingbird stuff and the Minnekota stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about something interesting. I, you know, as I'm talking here, we're a week ahead of recording this, and I got this animal living right next to my back door my bird dogs keep looking at, and drives them nuts, but he doesn't want to go because he's afraid to freeze to death. Believe it or not, I got a woodcock living right next to the house. I mean, these poor birds came up here. How the heck are they going to eat anything?
You know, that's a real interesting thing, and there have been several other people who, I belong to a group of Wisconsinites that have, we have a bird deal on the internet, and several other people have noted looking at woodcock like that. You can't hardly see them if you try,
right,
unless you got a lot of snow, because they're almost invisible when they get into the leaves, but it's a neat bird. Another thing that's happening right now is a lot of eagles and other raptors are getting hurt or killed because they're eating carrion that's along around the roads. So you got to be a little careful. If you see a bird, a large bird, a raptor, feeding along the road, slow down a little bit. You don't want to kill it.
I know there's a lot of birds that have migrated up here, and I've had reports of sandhill cranes up here already.
Yep.
You know, and obviously things like a woodcock, I don't know what you do to try to feed them, because they burrow in the mud for worms.
Yep.
But other things like robins and other birds out there, you could throw some bird seed out, and that would help a little bit, because until this snow breaks and it's cold, I mean, these birds are going to be struggling to survive, I think.
Well, the raptors have a real problem, John, with the last 12 to 13 inches of snow we had. That covered up what they were feeding on, so that makes it a little harder too. And you got to remember, eagles and owls already have chicks, and they got to be fed.
And a lot of interesting there, you know. And you know, things about time to get ready, start taking care of your boat too, Art. I mean, if you haven't looked at it all winter, you might have to evict a couple of Mises out of it, maybe, hopefully not.
They're always there. I don't care. They're just always there.
We're talking about getting that boat out and things. A couple of things that people tend to kind of forget about is checking their batteries, especially the electrolyte level in the batteries. And they should have been putting the batteries on charge off and on during the winter at least two or three times. Or having some of the new battery chargers now, especially the onboard ones. You know, I don't even take my batteries out of the boat, but they'll charge them up and you can leave them on there for a week. They kind of maintain the batteries. They do a lot to help prolong the length of the batteries. But the other thing, too, that people forget about is wheel bearings. They get these bearing buddies on there, and they think that, well, I got them in there, all I got to do is squirt a little grease in there. You get the water in there anyhow sometimes, and if that water gets in there, it raises cane with the bearings quick.
No doubt about that. The other thing is you want to look inside that. Take the cowl off of your engine and see what's happening on the inside, because especially with the older motors, there can be a lot of damage done by mice.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and some of the new stuff is getting pretty high tech, so if you got anything to do, I mean, you can learn how to do things like check the lower unit or change the lower unit lube, you know, in service, or change oil and some of that stuff in the four strokes. But any of the main service, you know, you go out like Hayward Damon out there, Hayward Power Sports, get you in and take care of it. You get it taken care of pretty easily.
Well, you want to do it. And with the four stroke, I think the average person doesn't take enough time to think about that engine.
They ignore them too often. Yeah,
That's right.
Because they're used to two strokes and they're not forgetting. I know people that have burned down four strokes because they didn't check the oil.
Yep, and the other thing is people just didn't realize you don't want to use ethanol in the gasoline that you put in that engine.
Yeah, actually, you don't use ethanol. I mean, some of the new motors now, like my new 115 Merc, is designed to run on that, but it's still not good. I mean, it collects moisture, and anytime you collect moisture in a marine environment, you're asking for trouble at some point.
I think Damon told me one time that about 60% of the business that they're doing on engines relates to that problem.
Could very well be. Well, Art, you know, we're about out of time for this. It's good to have you back here.
Fun to be back, John. Just hope it warms up.
And folks, if you miss a show, remember, if you go to our website at WMORadio.net, you'll find links to get to our podcast site at Podbean. You get to find links to get to our YouTube channel. radio shows are all up there, so you can catch up to date on the radio shows. Plus, there's other videos up there, interesting things. We're out of time for this week.
Take some youngsters out and have a little fun with them.
And we'll see you again next week, folks.
Come on along, listen with me. I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.